He's crashing through concrete walls left and right. The walls other dentists have built to keep dental consumers fearful. There is a man who doesn't make up procedures so he can bill you more. There is a man who uses ultra-magnification microscope technology so you don't need uncomfortable, invasive procedures. There is a man who avoids suggesting a crown as an easy repair when you should be preserving the tooth. Your dental industry game changer is Dr. Randy Shoup. Experience an initial sit-down consultation like you've never had before at Microscope Dentistry by Shoup. After today's show, go to ddsradio.com or call 317-776-1100. This is the Dr. Shoup Show. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, hello, everybody. It is great to have you here. Thank you very, very much. Merry Christmas to you all. I am sure your living rooms are still destroyed with wrapping paper and bows and things strewn all over the place. That's what the season is all about, isn't it, really? And I'm glad you're here. This is where you go to learn things you will never learn anywhere else, to become smarter, better informed, a certainly more savvy medical, dental, wellness, health consumer. You're going to have all the information you know to make really great decisions about your health. And so this is what we're all about. You know, we start in Dental School 101. Now, it has happened yet again. Multiple dentists have declared this tooth non-restorable. It can't be fixed. Yes, but you know what I'm going to tell you. I can, and I'm going to tell you why, but I'm going to ask a bigger question. Does it make sense? Is it the right thing to do to fix a tooth in every situation? We're going to delve into that with a real-life patient story and ask the expert. Certainly. Phew, I hope we're towards the end of the year, and I'm getting really tired of doing these. And so I'm going to give you the COVID update, but significantly more information out and more data about the vaccines. I'm starting to refocus on let's get into the solution part of this rather than keep reporting the problem. So we're going to delve deeply into the vaccines, all the parameters. There are some things emerging, some patterns that we are seeing you need to be aware of. And you get to meet a really lovely lady. You get to meet Marcia, an actress, a model who had been away from dentistry for a bit, came back. The dentist said, "You look fine. You look great. You look wonderful." I don't think he was looking at her teeth. She came to me because she just didn't think that was right, and she'll tell you the rest of the story. But first, what is the oldest human type tooth we have ever found? Was it in a human? Maybe not. Where did our teeth come from? Fascinating new research. I'm going to tell you how old our teeth are right now.
Time to go under the microscope.
I was very excited to start my reportings.
Well, you know me, and you know I love digging through these research papers, and it's really a big treat for me to bring you stuff about ancient humans and people that lived in caves and dinosaurs and all that kind of good stuff. Who doesn't like a good dinosaur story? Seriously. So here's another one. This comes actually out of Greenland and the Uppsala University that's in Greenland. Listen to this. A team of scientists led from Uppsala University have described the earliest known example of dentary bone. That's what the pre-teeth were called, dentary bones, with two rows of the cusps, the bumps, on the molars, and two roots on the teeth. The new findings offer insight into mammal tooth evolution. P.S., that's you and me. We're mammals. Particularly the development of double-rooted teeth. The results are published in the scientific journal PNAS. Now, the first mammalians originated in the late Triassic period, Doesn't it sound like Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory? I love this stuff. But this happened to be around 205 million years ago. An ancestor of the mammals were called therapsids. Therapsids is honestly a real word. It's called a therapsid. And it's a Greek derivation of mammal-like reptile. And so one unique characteristic of this lineage that included mammals and animals related to mammals was that they developed complex occlusion. These little mammals developed complicated teeth, not just the little spiky pointy ones, but they had flat surfaces on the top. They had bumps. They had grooves. Here's the other thing. This animal that they've been studying was discovered on the east coast of Greenland, and it's about the size of a mouse. It's about the size of a shrew, very small animal. But the team of scientists from the Uppsala University have investigated the jaw anatomy and tooth structure of this recently described mammalian form species. It was discovered in the eastern coast of Greenland and was very small, shrew-like animal, probably covered with fur. It would have been the size of a large mouse, lived during the late Triassic period, 215 million years ago. So what they discovered was these animals started to develop complex teeth. This early evolution of mammals is of a particular interesting topic evolutionary-wise. This tiny jaw from a Greenland animal shows us how complex mammal teeth arose and why they appeared. These animals began to eat a variety diet. They were omnivores. They ate anything and everything. So rather than just killing something, ripping off chunks of flesh and swallowing it, these little critters had to actually chew. So the critters that developed these wider teeth with multiple roots had better ability to chew. If you have a better ability to chew, you have a better ability to eat. If you eat more, you grow. You become stronger. You get to reproduce where the other little spindly ones don't. So, there was a preferential evolution towards these multi-rooted, multi-cusped teeth. So, you and I, as human beings, sitting here as sophisticated as we are, owe a duty of thanks to the little shrew-like creature on the east coast of Greenland that is probably the oldest example of a little critter that developed what you and I now benefit from for teeth. So there you have it. Isn't science amazing? I think this stuff is so cool. Thank you very much. So, up next. This tooth can't be fixed. I hear this all the time. You want to bet? I'll tell you all about it right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. He's teaching others in the dental industry how dentistry should be done. He's rescuing dental consumers from poorly trained and overcharging dentists that have infiltrated America. This is the Dr. Shoup Show, where you learn how Microscope Dentistry by Shoup is reshaping the old dental industry model. Meet the doc and his incredible team by calling today, 317-776-1100. Online at ddsradio.com. Here is Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, it is so good to have you here. Thank you very, very much. Our last program of 2020, didn't it all think at one point we would never get here? But holy cow, we're right around the corner from flipping the entire calendar over to 2021, and none too soon. Absolutely, positively. Now, it happened again this week, a situation where one of my endodontist, my root canal specialist that I refer to, sent me an email and said, hey, I've got one that I think you need to see. Here's the deal. So my endodontist described a very lovely lady that had come to him for a root canal. He looks at the tooth and says, well, what's the deal here? She said, well, my dentist tells me that I should have this tooth removed. This tooth is shot. It's done. The decay's too far gone. Can't be fixed. Leave it alone. Take it out. She says, I don't want to lose this tooth. I don't want to have teeth taken out. I want to keep my teeth. And my friend, the endodontist, looked at it, and she asked him, can you do a root canal on this tooth? He goes, I absolutely can. He said, but I don't know if your dentist thinks that he can restore it, that that's really the smart thing to do. She looked at him and said, who can fix this tooth? It took him about a half a second to go, there's one guy who can put this tooth back together for you. Yours truly, moi. And so she said, that's enough for me. Do the root canal, and I'll go see Dr. Randy. So my buddy did the root canal. Beautiful root canal, by the way. Sent me an email, said, look, I've cleaned everything up the best I can. She really wants to keep this tooth. If there's anybody on the planet that can fix it, it's you. Here you go. So she shows up at my office. I get in, and my buddy has sent me all of the x-rays and all the pictures. I know what I'm going to get when she gets there. So she sits in the chair, we look at it together, and I do some of the magical things that I do to figure out if a tooth can be fixed. And sure enough, can I fix it? Yes. Can probably anybody else fix it? Honestly, no. I can fix teeth that most anybody and everybody else throws their hands up and goes, nope, this can't be fixed. Take this tooth out. Now, it sounds like bragging, and I guess it is to some degree, but I've worked really, really hard to develop the skill set that I have so that I can do these things, so that I can help you keep your teeth. It's not easy to do this stuff. It's not like some sort of a simple thing. So you really have to work at it. So, can I fix it? Yes. But is that the most important question? No. The most important question is, so, is it smart to fix it? Is that the best way to spend the energy, the time, the money, and the stress at putting this tooth back together? Can I put it back together? You bet. At the end of the day, what sort of shape is this tooth going to be in? How durable is this tooth? Can you chew on this tooth, brush it, floss it, forget about it, and expect this tooth to last for several years? Or is this tooth so structurally compromised that it's going to be a liability? You're never going to know how long this repair will last. And what I say about that is that as you bite and chew and grind, you exert a lot of stress on your tooth. If the repair and the remaining tooth is strong enough to withstand that stress, it'll do just fine. But if the remaining tooth is so weakened and the repair is so extensive that constant day in and day out stressing, we have huge bridges fall down after they've been in service for so long because they just get stressed, the metal gets fatigued, they fall down. And so anything and everything that you build can fail. So the question becomes not, can Randy fix it? Answer 99% of the time is yes, but does it make sense? How much time, how much money, how much trouble, how reliable is it? And so here's what you have to think about. And people don't contemplate this nearly enough. Here's the thing. Rich people can afford to have crummy dentistry that fails all the time. Poor people cannot afford to have cheap dentistry failing all the time. Poor people actually need the finest dental services possible. Why? They can't afford to do it again. Rich people have tons of money, $100 bills falling out of their pockets. They've got fat bank accounts. If they go to some dentist and the dentist does a crummy job and the stuff fails in 2 or 3 or 4 years, they've got the available, dispensable, usable income to do the dental work over again. They don't lose a sweat over it. If you're on a really tight budget, if money is really, really close, you have to have dental work done, and you really sacrifice to get this dental work done, you don't have that great reserve of money to redo it in 3 or 4 or 5 years, right? So poor people actually need the finest dentistry possible that lasts the longest period of time so that they can get the highest degree of value. When you don't have much and you fix teeth on the cheap and the down low, then when that dentistry fails, you're in a pickle because you don't have any additional money to fix it over again. So that's why I always want to have a really thoughtful discussion with you, the patient. I can fix these teeth, but is it the right thing to do? It is always, and write this down, remember it, don't forget it. It is always much less costly to restore a tooth than it is to remove it and replace it. It's the three R's. It's restore or remove, replace. It's always cheaper to restore a tooth than it is to remove it and replace it. Because when you remove a tooth, when you say, oh, it's just shot, it's gone, let's just get it out of there, I don't want to spend a bunch of money on this tooth. When you take the tooth out, if you have any plans on replacing it at all, then you're looking at a bridge. Now you've taken a one-tooth issue, and you will grind down the teeth on either side of the space. You've turned a one-tooth problem into a three-tooth problem. And the bridge that you build across those two teeth, replacing the one you just took out, is significantly more expensive than rebuilding the one tooth standing there by itself. Let's say you take the tooth out and you go, I don't like that idea about grinding down those other teeth. I'm going to do an implant. Elegant, straight to the point. Implants done well in today's world are literally the Sherman tank of dentistry. They are so robust and they are so sound and they are so strong. You do them correctly the first time, they should last honestly as long as you do. But they have a significantly higher price point for the implant, the surgery to put the implant in, for the abutment that you have to put for the implant, and then the crown that goes on the abutment. It is easily twice, if not greater, in expense to get an implant for a tooth than it is to fix the tooth that was there originally. So you have to do these cost-benefit analyses to find out what are my choices here. And so you shouldn't do this knee-jerk reaction of the first thing, this tooth can't be fixed, get it out of there. Because your alternatives then, after you remove the tooth, oftentimes are significantly more complicated and significantly more expensive. So, can I repair these teeth? Can I rebuild them? Can I put them back together? Oh, heck yeah. But you and I will have a conversation about, is it truly in your best interest? It is your decision. It's your choice. It's not the dentist imposing a choice on you. You have to have all of the possibilities unfolded before you. You then, as the patient, need to be empowered to make the choice. which is it going to be? And whatever fits into your circumstances, the dentist should always honor that. And so that's what you have to do. Get somebody that will honor your choices. Really straightforward. Now, up next, I'm sorry, the COVID update is coming, happily, the last one of 2020. But we're going to delve deep into the vaccines. Which ones are there? What are they doing? How are they performing? And when do you get yours? I'll tell you all about it right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. When is this coronavirus thing going to end? And what should you believe and not believe with all the COVID-19 info out there?
If the sun comes up tomorrow, it is only because of men of goodwill. It's all there is between us and the devil.
Well, that's why we say, trust your truth ambassador, Dr. Randy Shoup, to help you through Corona-geddon. You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Check out ddsradio.com. And now, here's your host, Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, it is so good to have you here. Thank you very, very much. And this is really, really cool because I get to give the last coronavirus update of 2020. I thought this day would never come. Now, I'm sure we're not finished because we're going to have to kick some of these off in 2021, but I do indeed see a light at the end of the tunnel. So here's where we stand. We are seeing the results of a lot of social gatherings in Thanksgiving. We are looking at now towards the tail end of the peak. We had Thanksgiving, and roughly about 2 weeks after Thanksgiving, we really started to crank things up, peaked about 4 weeks after Thanksgiving, and now we're starting here to start to see a slight decline back. But we've had Christmas, and if everybody acted like they acted in Thanksgiving, people got together, kind of thumbed their nose and said, to heck with this, I'm not wearing a mask, I'm going to socially gather, I'm going to go out and party, then we are going to see in another 2 to 3 weeks another big jump again. I hope you all didn't do that. But that's where we are. In certain urban locations, we are seeing spikes in the infectivity rate that is really, really off the chart. And that is loading up hospital rooms. We still have significant restrictions nationwide on elective surgeries. Elective surgeries across the country basically have come to a screeching halt. Only necessary surgeries. Now, is a hip replacement and an emergency essential? Well, if you've got a really sore hip, maybe. But certainly are cancer surgeries, essential surgeries? Would a cancer surgery wait for another 3 months or 6 weeks? These are all really heavy-duty questions that we have to answer. By and large, those sorts of things are all considered essential surgery. Non-essential things are, cosmetic surgeries and bariatric surgery, all those sorts of things that fall into those categories. So we are seeing a really high occupancy in ICU nationwide, a really, really high use of ventilators. But again, I've told you before, here's the silver lining. The death rate, R-A-T-E, the death rate for those people infected is staying really stable and low because we have much, much better therapeutics, much better modalities of how to treat this stuff. So that is the bit of the light that we see towards the end of the tunnel. Indiana has really kind of surprisingly fared fairly well in this latest surge. We do have ICU bed availability. We do have ventilators available. And so Indiana is kind of lucky in the sense that we are not scrambling and straining at the seams to take care of everybody. Now, we have all seen and know about the Pfizer rollout. What was kind of interesting, Pfizer announced that sometime in the middle of next year, they are going to come out with a powdered form of the virus. The powdered form can be stored in a regular refrigerator. But because they were in this ultra, ultra fast, remember, they were not part of this warp speed project from the government. They stayed independent of that. They did all this development on their own. They rolled out the quickest, most expedient vaccine that they could, and then they are going to refine it and roll it out next year as a powder that is significantly easier to handle. We have per tray that they put out, there's 975 doses. They come in little glass vials. There is a small crystal powder in the bottom of the vial along with a little bit of liquid. It gets reconstituted with saline, and then they pull that up into a syringe. There's supposed to be 5 doses per vial. What they're finding is, and what they have discovered through the manufacturing process, they actually can get 6 or maybe even 7 doses out of a vial. So originally, the CDC said you can't use the 6th or 7th dose. It's out of compliance with what we know as the 5 doses. They all had a little powwow and said, this is the same stuff. Go ahead and use it. So we get a little extra capacity out of the vials from Pfizer. Moderna now has reached its approval. It has been granted emergency use authorization, and it is rolling out a vaccine that is almost identical to the Pfizer one. They are both RNA vaccines. What this means is there is a little strand of RNA, ribonucleic acid, that is similar to a little strand of the RNA inside the virus. Is it a complete strand of RNA that can make a new virus? No, it's only part of one. So it's like saying, I have 2 tires and a motor. I'm going to make a car. You're missing a whole bunch of parts before you can have a car. So you don't have enough. You have enough to look at and go, it probably was maybe a car, looks like it to me. That's what this RNA stuff does. It gives your body enough of a look at the virus to go, you know, that kind of looks like a virus, and so I don't like it. They roll, embed these little pieces of RNA in a lipid bubble. Lipid, if commonly for you and me, fat. They put it in fat. The fat then adheres to the surface of the cell. The cell does all of its magic, and this little piece of RNA gets put inside the cell. The cell looks at it and goes, I don't like this at all, creates antibodies against this little piece of RNA, and then T cells in your body come down and look at that and go, I'm going to remember this, because T cells are the memory part of your immune system. And so it teaches, activates, empowers the T cells to remember this little strand. And if it sees it anywhere, it attacks it. That's how you get immunity. And so can you get the coronavirus from this inoculation, this vaccine? Absolutely, positively not. And we talked about it before. What everybody is talking about in terms of side effects are basically not side effects. They are your body telling you this stuff is working. It's what you want. Do you get pain at the injection site? I can give you a shot of pure saline or sugar water, and you could have pain at the injection site. It tells you nothing. Do you get feeling crummy for a day? Do you maybe get a temperature? Do you maybe feel like you got a little flu symptoms for 24 hours? That is the vaccine and your body teaching the T cells to remember this thing. That's how it works. Now, there are indeed truly side effects. And with this Moderna vaccine, and with the Pfizer vaccine, and now with the Moderna, they have had incredibly limited, low amounts of side effects. One side effect is anaphylactic shock. That's where your body reacts to it. It's the same as if you were allergic to peanuts and you ate a Payday candy bar. You're in trouble. Your airway is going to close. You won't be able to breathe. Your eyes will swell shut. It is an emergency, life-threatening situation. What do they use? EpiPen. Just like you would. If you get stung by a bee and you're allergic to a bee, you carry an EpiPen. If you're highly allergic to something, you should have an EpiPen on you. So the instances where they gave this vaccine and the patient started to exhibit anaphylactic reaction, they gave them an EpiPen. Every one of them has simply recovered and walked out of the clinic fine. Okay, you just need to get over the hump. So there has been incredibly low important complications, all right? They're training dentists in California to administer the vaccine because we've got all the stuff that you need. We've got all the emergency stuff, and we need to get it out there so that we can get as many people covered. I'm sure this will happen across the United States. And so that's what's happening with the vaccine. We've had several glitches so far. Number one, only half the supply that we were expecting in certain locations showed up. It's because they can't make this stuff fast enough for distribution in the United States. Remember that the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine require two doses. So you have, if you have 100 million people, you need 200 million doses. That's a lot of doses to make. And there have been a couple of glitches where, because of the incredibly strict temperature guidelines, some of the shipments have been either too cold or too warm, and each of those things throws the shipment out of compliance until that shipment is taken back to Pfizer, recertified as good, and then redistributed. So shipping anything, that you have to keep it at 90 degrees below zero Fahrenheit is going to be problematic. But by and large, it's going to be okay. Congratulations. We've got the light at the end of the tunnel. So there you have it. Now, up next, you get to meet Marsha, model, actress, and we've changed her life by cleaning her gums. She'll tell you all about it after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. The Dr. Randy Shoup philosophy that he will always back up with consistent action, preventing cavities for the rest of your life, providing alternatives to a mouthful of crowns, while looking at your health in the most thorough way possible. Experience what dentistry should be by meeting the Microscope Dentistry by Shoup team. Call 317-776-1100. We're online at ddsradio.com. This is the Dr. Shoup Show. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Thank you all for being here, and as you know, if you are a listener of the program at all, this is truly my favorite part of the entire program. I get to bring to you friends of mine that I get to introduce to you, and today we have a really special, a lovely lady. Marsha, how are you?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Oh, I couldn't be better if I get the chance to talk to you. So there you have it, right there. Marsha, I told everybody a little bit that you were, you are, but still are, an actress, a model. You do a lot of work in that arena. You and I clarified just a minute ago, no relation to Rodney. Dangerfield.
No.
Okay, that's good. I'm really happy about that. That's okay. I'm disappointed on one side, but then that's okay. You came to me after kind of having been away from dentistry for a little bit, and a couple of things came up in our new patient experience as we were looking at things that were really important to you and made some big changes for you. Would you mind sharing that with the folks that are listening? What were the things that were really big on your checkoff list?
Well, I had heard this program. My mother had recently passed away. It was May of 2019. I was not feeling well. I was tired all the time. I was not feeling well. and I heard you talking about the Alzheimer's stuff and the new research that was finding all these other things that oral hygiene affected. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm going to get up and go brush my teeth. I was going to take a nap. And so that's what I did. And then when I came back into the radio, it was a 317 number. So I called the next day and made an appointment. And I hadn't even worried about oral cancer, but you said, no, I didn't have to worry about that. Yes, there was some infection in my gums. We were going to deal with that. We had some teeth to be extracted, which scared me to death, even though I knew they needed to come out. I have a terrible time with pain.
Sure.
And my daughter flew in from San Diego to hold my hand, and it was all very exciting and didn't hurt at all. I don't know how you did it. Even afterwards, what little discomfort. I can't even call it pain. After you extracted three teeth in one day, and the discomfort, I was able to easily manage with ibuprofen. So I was so happy. And today, about a year later, a year and a half, I feel so much better than I was. I don't know how much of it was grief or how much of it was problems with my gums, but all I can tell you is life is better.
Well, Marcia, I am absolutely thrilled and delighted for you. Yeah, I knew that you were really, really anxious about two or three different kind of big time items. And you mentioned something that's, I really want to come back to it, really, really important in that kind of percolating below the surface. You really didn't maybe think about it on a conscious level or anything like that, but there was this little thought in your mind about oral cancer. And as part of the comprehensive look that we do, we always do a very thorough look at all of that to make sure that there isn't anything scary. And you got a pretty significant sense of relief when I told you everything looks healthy, everything looks normal. It wasn't really a big day in and day out thing you thought about, but when I finally told you you're good, that seemed to be important to you.
Oh, yes. Incredibly, incredibly comforting, you know, to feel like there was hope. There was hope that I could get better, that perhaps I had come to the right place. And I felt that way because you were so knowledgeable in the program that I heard, and was thrilled to think you were right here close to Indianapolis. So,
it's so fun, yeah, because a lot of times when folks listen to these shows, they don't know where they emanate from. And so when you find out you're here in central Indiana and fairly accessible, maybe a little bit of a drive, but not terrible. The other thing that I thought was really interesting that you dropped on us was that your daughter flew in all the way from the West Coast simply to accompany you to an appointment that you thought was going to be major brain surgery or something like that. But I guess
scared.
I'm happy to disappoint in that regard.
So was I.
Yeah.
So was I. I felt kind of guilty that she'd come all this way. I was more worried about the aftermath, and there was no aftermath. Whatever you did clean and well enough that it just didn't cause me trouble afterwards.
Well, I appreciate the heck out of that. Thank you. It's nice to know that the technology that I have works pretty well. I will tell you the magic about that. It really is magnification. Those crazy big microscope lenses that I wear on my head with a magnifier. I can go in and be incredibly precise and incredibly gentle and find those areas where I can make things kind of loosen up and be easier. The days of grabbing a hold of a tooth and just kind of wrestling it out and, you know, sitting on somebody's chest, that's good for cartoons maybe, or a Three Stooges episode, but it's not modern dentistry. Modern dentistry with the magnification should make all the difference. And then the other thing you said, super important, and I'm really glad you did. You were telling us that you feel so much physically better now after having been through your therapies with Elena. Talk more about that, if you would.
Well, there is some homework involved. I have to do what she tells me to do as far as brushing and you put me on the fluoride treatment, and which I really, that was unpleasant. But, you have to do it. But just generally, my thinking is more clear. It's not like a quick change sort of thing, like one day I woke up and went, woohoo, I'm great.
Mm-hmm.
But and I'm an old woman. I'm 68 years old, so it's
watch yourself. Watch yourself now. Watch out throwing that old stuff.
All I'm saying is, gradually, day to day, when I look back to what I was feeling like in May of 2019 when I first came to you, and what I feel like now, it's night and day. I'm not discouraged every morning when I wake up thinking, where's my energy?
Oh, my goodness.
And I just wrapped Christmas for 5 married children and 14 grandchildren.
Oh!
And I'm not dead yet, so I'm fine.
You're still talking to me. And I love that part. That's just the best part ever. Yeah, we talk about it on the program, but the oral systemic health connection. If you're running around with a constant chronic infection in your gums, it takes its toll on your entire body. It saps your energy reserves. It occupies your body with fighting off an infection. It never wins. And so you get that cleared up, and then all of a sudden, voila, hey, I've got energy that I didn't have before.
Yeah. And it's felt really good. So I keep my appointments and I try to do my homework and do what Elena tells me to do.
Listen, if you had to work with Elena, you'd do what she told you to do too. I'm telling you, I toe the line. I do not mess with Elena. I don't care what happens. Marcia, I cannot thank you enough for sharing your story with the listeners. It is just really wonderful. I know you've helped somebody out there and you don't even know it. So thank you very, very much for sharing that information, sharing your story. Really, really, that's a really magnanimous thing on your part. And I thank you for everybody.
Well, thank you for the work you do.
Well, it's a treat. It's wonderful. 2021 is going to be better than 2020. Doesn't have much of a choice.
It's bound to be.
Well, what option do we have? What else?
Right.
the only thing that make it worse is aliens that eat humans land tomorrow. I don't know what are going to
happen. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think
but
so
then
either.
I didn't see this coming either, so who knows?
Marcia, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I'll see you and Elena at the office next time.
Okay.
Thanks, all right. Kiddo. All right. Bye-bye.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. Happy holidays. Bye. Well, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed listening to that as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. It is always a treat. It's always fun to be able to bring you all this information. That's what makes this show really, really fun for me, because I get to do the research you asked me to do. You go to ddsradio.com. I get all these great ideas to do this research, bring it to you, talk about topics that are important to you. That's what it's all about. I will indeed take this opportunity to wax a little philosophical here that we are on the last program of the year, 2020. It has been a strain, and it has put everybody on edge, but I want to do something in absolute true transparency and honesty. I want to thank my dental team up at Microscope Dentistry by Shoup for this past year. They have been absolutely the most relentless pursuers of helping people that you could ever imagine. We never closed during the pandemic. We stayed open to serve patients. When all the other dental offices quit, we hung in there to serve you and to be there for you. And my team is absolutely the finest dental team you could ever imagine to have. So thank you to them. So, until you and I chat in 2021, be sure to brush and floss.
Keep on smiling, 'cause when